Good morning. I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, a university campus pastor and coordinator of the chapels, and I share that especially for campus visitors. We're so pleased that you're here and that you're gathering with us in this chapel. Welcome and have a good day. We also may have Board of Trustees members coming into the chapel. If you see folks coming in here in a little bit, that may be who they are as well, and we'll be glad to have them as well. This chapel is the second of two that are part of the program for Take Back the Night. Take Back the Night is a national movement. It takes place on many, many college campuses across the nation and other places. And it's an opportunity to shine the light on sexual violence. And we take that seriously. And this week are engaging in many opportunities to do that very thing. This morning's chapel, we are hosting Sabrina Dorman as a voice from the community. And so to hear a bit about our speaker, we have Tempest Anderson.
Good morning, everyone. As Brian said, my name is Tempest Anderson, and I'm the director of EMU's Counseling Center. I am so glad that we are hosting Sabrina on this morning. She is a great voice in the community and also a great friend of mine personally. Just a quick note about things in the Counseling Center today. Normally we would have our walk-in hours from 1 to 2, but today, just for today, we're having it from 12 to 1. And so if you are in need of utilizing our walk-in hour or know someone who needs it, it'll be from 12 to 1 today instead of 1 to 2. And so just a little bit about Sabrina Dorman from New Creation Incorporated. Sabrina hails from the beautiful Shenandoah Valley, in which we are living. Her passion for fighting human trafficking quickly developed after volunteering with the Zion Project, and she made it her mission to learn about this issue on a local and global scale. In 2010, she and her husband Stephen had the vision of New Creation. Armed with the belief that prayer and education are the solution to the problem, she continues to develop concepts that will make an impact. When not working, you will find her spending time with her husband and their children, thrifting with friends, or snuggling with one of her beloved cats, Nehemiah, Willow, and Oliver. And so the next voice you will hear is Sabrina. Please welcome her as she comes.
Thank you, thank you. All right, hopefully I'm on. Good morning. I hope you guys are well. I'm always excited to be on campuses. We work kind of all over Virginia, but New Creation is based right here in Harrisonburg. So I especially love when I get to be here, partly because my commute is 5 minutes. But really, I love my community, and I love to engage people in the issue of sex trafficking. So I always want to kind of explain who we are as a ministry, but also talk about what trafficking looks like here. So about 6 years ago, I was introduced to a ministry in Uganda called the Zion Project. Tempest mentioned that. And a young lady showed up at our church. She actually started this mission to respond to sex trafficking that was happening in Africa. And so she was talking about this issue, and I had never heard the term human trafficking. I had no idea what it was. I was kind of in this mindset that slavery was something of the past, not something of today. And so when I was kind of faced with this reality, I couldn't figure out what my response would be. I found out things like today, in 2017, we have more people enslaved through human trafficking, modern day slavery, more than any other time in history. I learned statistics like between 20 and 40 million people around the world are faced with this reality. They're being exploited, sold, and trafficked. And for me, when I heard about the issue, I really wanted to respond well, but I didn't know what to do. I kind of felt overwhelmed and paralyzed. Have you guys ever heard of something so hard and so overwhelming? You just really don't know what to do. And so new creation was our response to this issue. Part of what we want to do, we really want to equip and educate people, but more than that, we really want to empower the community to be a part of this issue. So you hear things like trafficking, and sometimes people think, oh, that's happening in Africa or Cambodia or Russia. But that certainly isn't happening here in Virginia, definitely not in Harrisonburg. And so there's a lot of myths that surround trafficking. And so the first part of what we do is community awareness. We work really hard to train and teach people in our community, whether it's teachers, medical professionals, really faculty and staff at schools is where we focus. The reason that community awareness was huge, the very first survivor of sex trafficking, and I'll just stop there. I'm sure most people know what I'm talking about, but just in case there's somebody who doesn't know, trafficking, human trafficking, really is modern day slavery. It's when one person is flipping profit, exploiting, and selling another person. And so this issue of sex trafficking was far away from me, right? In Africa, I learned about this issue there. But when it came to my doorstep, it changed the way I responded. So I spoke at this church early on in New Creation's inception. I was sharing about trafficking, and I had a young lady from my hometown that met me after that sermon. So I'm from a town called Elkton. Has anybody heard of Elkton? Doesn't have a great name. It's a lovely town, and I love my community. But I joke that it's very small. We have 3 stoplights and 4 last names. It's just a very tight-knit, small community. And so this girl who was from my community of Elkton came up and she said, I didn't know that it had a name. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, what you're talking about, that's my story. And I didn't know that it had a name. And so her story, and she allows me to share it, her story went something like this. She grew up in a single family home. Her mom was a drug addict. She learned that she could exploit, she could sell and trade her daughter to support her drug habit. It's what we call familial sex trafficking. When somebody in that family unit is selling, exploiting a child, that trafficker, that pimp is actually a family member. And when she shared that with me, I couldn't believe that that was happening in my community. This girl was 8 years old when it started, and it didn't end until she was 18. So for 10 years, this girl was in my community. She graduated from my high school, and more than likely, she was being seen by my physician, and nobody picked up that this was a reality. And so our response then changed kind of from this international picture to what does this look like in Elkton, in Harrisonburg, in Broadway? What does this look like here? And so that's why community awareness is huge. Because what happens is when we can distance ourselves from an issue, we often miss it when it's right in front of our face. And so talking about this story of this young girl is really open the eyes of teachers in the area. What does this look like for students? Sometimes, and I think part of it's the media, we see movies like Taken. Has anybody seen Taken? You know, we think that as long as we don't go to Europe and share a taxi cab with a really evil, handsome person, that we're safe. But that is such a myth of what trafficking looks like. We see pictures about anti-trafficking movements, and many times it's depicted as somebody locked up, right? We've all seen those, somebody chained or caged, and that's what we think that modern-day slavery looks like. That's what we think trafficking looks like. But trafficking looks like sometimes kids sitting in a classroom in middle America that are being trafficked. Not locked up in a basement, but kids that are being exploited by somebody close to them. So that's why we do community awareness. The second piece of our mission, some of my background, I went to school to be a teacher. I lasted not even a full year. It is really hard. If there are teachers in here, God bless you. I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher, and then I realized I don't really like kids that much. I like mine, but what that taught me, you know, teaching for me, I realized that education was really a big tool. It's a big, big part of every issue is raising awareness and educating people about it. And so I learned a statistic early on when I first started in the movement the average age of someone in sex trafficking. So this isn't labor trafficking, and this isn't internationally. This is here, domestic sex trafficking. So kids that are born in the U.S., that are trafficked in the U.S., is 12 years old. That is a seventh grade middle school student. My daughter is in eighth grade now, and I look at her and her friends and think, how could it be? How could it be that I am living, we are living in a culture that is the average age of a sex slave in our country? And so for me, when I learned about it, do you ever say, like, somebody really should do something about that? That's terrible. I wish somebody would, you know, get off their butt and do something. Why is nobody doing anything? And when I learned about trafficking, that was my first response. I kept saying over and over to my husband, somebody should be doing something. This is our kids. Nobody's talking about this. The kids don't know that it's happening. We as parents have no idea. And schools are very unaware. Somebody should be doing something. And my husband is a very brave man. And he said, maybe you are the somebody who ought to do something. And so I really took that charge to heart and said, how can I? You know, I was working in the medical field. I was a mom. I was just this average person. And I thought, what can I do to respond to this? And so prevention education became just a really large, it's my heartbeat. Getting in front of students and talking about this issue. You know, sometimes I think we really don't understand issues and it's simple solutions to some of them. People typically do not kidnap you into trafficking. That's a very big myth. There's abductions, absolutely, that have been connected. But the average person that is trafficked in our country, it's through a connection that they've made. It's through a relationship that's being built. Many times it's through social media, because sometimes we don't feel like that person on the other side of the computer is a threat to us like somebody standing beside us. And so we talk to kids and unveil the common lures that traffickers use. We tell them real stories, like about a girl who was 14. She lived in Stewart's Draft, Virginia, which is maybe 40 minutes from here. She was an eighth grade student in middle school. She had an Instagram account, like probably all of us do. And this person started liking and following, then messaging her, building a relationship with her. She gave the guy her cell phone number. He started very quickly becoming inappropriate. She kept asking him to leave her alone, and he persisted. Thankfully, she went to her parents, who involved law enforcement. When they apprehended this man that she had befriended on the internet, and they asked him, what was your intentions? He said, I was either going to take her to Harrisonburg, where he was living, and rape and kill her, or I was going to take her to Mexico and sell her, basically because American girls bring a lot of money. That's a real situation. That is not a storyline in a movie. That is a real thing that's happening to our kids in our community. And so we as parents, we as educators, have to start these conversations. My daughter laughs because sometimes her friends come over and she warns them about conversation around our table being very different. Because we talk about prostitution and pornography and trafficking. Last night we were talking about heroin. I'm like, I'm not sure how many families are talking about it. But these are real things that our kids are facing. Trafficking is a reality. We know actually it is the fastest growing criminal industry in the entire world. When we started the issue, it was number three, so it was drug trafficking, the illegal weapon trade, and then humans, and it's kind of slid into that number two spot. And so prevention is really big, and because we focus on Virginia, a lot of people say, well, you know, how bad is it? Statistics are a little bit tricky because they're based on reported cases. We actually know the vast majority of trafficking that are happening go unreported. But just so we understand what this looks like in Virginia, in 2014, we were number five with the most cases of human trafficking in the entire country. Does that surprise you guys? We were behind Florida, New York, Texas, California. And it really startled us, actually. The people that were working in Virginia, we were surprised that we had that many reported cases. And so part of what is happening in Virginia is we have 81 and 95 that run through our state, and those are the two main corridors that traffickers are using. And so we, about 2 years ago, we were working with local law enforcement, and it depends on who you talk to. You know, I've talked to some officers who say, oh, it's great what you're doing, but we don't have a trafficking issue. We might have a prostitution issue, but we don't have a trafficking issue. And so there's some disconnect in our community of what prostitution actually is. Typically, it's about 90% of every single person in the commercial sex industry were forced. There was some sort of force, fraud, or coercion that got them there. So that's talking about pornography. That's talking about prostitution. That's even talking about strip clubs. So if we look at by law, you have to prove force, fraud, or coercion. That's what makes somebody a trafficking victim. And so part of it is just the realization of what trafficking really looks like and what it is. But I had an officer that we had connected with, and he was really excited to take on this issue. He actually worked through the gang task force. And what you will learn if you kind of dig deeper into trafficking, trafficking is connected to a whole lot of criminal industries, including gangs. They have realized that you can sell a girl over and over and over, and you can only sell drugs once. That's what traffickers are saying. They used to do this, and now they're switching to trafficking. And so he took it really seriously, and he uncovered a girl. It was this time of year. It was probably the very end of November. I just remember it was right before Christmas. He calls and says, there's a girl that's been recovered, and she was sold here in Harrisonburg. She was sold, I won't name the hotel, but it was an off-the-interstate hotel, which is what trafficking looks like in most communities. It's happening in a hotel. It's happening in an apartment that's turned into a brothel. It's happening at a massage parlor that's open till 4 a.m. and is placed off of the interstate in a trailer. That is what trafficking looks like in our country. And so this young girl, she was 21. We'll call her Erica. Erica has also allowed us to share her story. She actually came from a very, very broken home. She lived with her dad, and her dream was to be a nurse. And so she had put out on social media that she was trying to find a way to make more money. She was working, but she needed to be able to pay her tuition. And so what traffickers do is they find your vulnerability, and then they exploit your vulnerability. And we all have them, and her vulnerability was she needed money. And so he convinced her that he had a good way for them to make money. He sold her on one thing and then did the old bait and switch. It was a completely different scenario once he had her here. The thing that was so alarming, being from here, I asked Erica, how many times were you in Harrisonburg? And she said, what my pimp would do, would he would put me on different websites. Have you heard of Backpage.com? So Backpage.com is essentially like the Craigslist, the dirty brother of Craigslist. It's where you can buy sex. You can get on Backpage.com, and you can pull up our 22801 zip code, and you can find people for sale. And most of the people that are for sale are being trafficked. There's somebody behind the scenes that are trafficking them, and that was Erica's story. So he would advertise her in places like Baltimore, which was where her pimp was from, Baltimore City, all the way to Harrisonburg, Martinsville, Charlottesville. And I said, how did you decide where you came? And she said, whatever city had the most hits was where they would take me. And most of the time it was Harrisonburg. That's what she told me. And the officers that we worked with were startled that the reality of trafficking is this. We can blame a whole lot on the trafficker, which obviously they have a huge part to play. But trafficking is a business, really. It operates under the same business as our shops that we run. You know, we sell survivor-made and fair trade items to fund and fuel rescue and restoration. Like my necklace is made by girls rescued in Mumbai, India. Well, if I can't sell this necklace, I don't buy any more necklaces. It's supply and demand, and trafficking is much the same. If there isn't somebody in your city that's purchasing sex, there aren't girls and boys trafficked and sold in your city. And so community awareness, you can see how that community awareness piece is huge and how this prevention education piece is huge, because if I would have been in Erica's classroom when she was in high school, and if I could have been able to teach her how this happens, the reality is I could have protected her. We've worked with roughly 4,000 students in Virginia raising awareness. And so when you're faced with this reality, you know, I could talk for hours about trafficking and the situations and how it's happening, and we can pull apart the ways that we can respond, but really, truly, it is how are we going to respond to this issue? Traffickers assume that the average person will not care and get involved. Trafficking is really dark. You know, I spoke at a conference for counselors in Shenandoah County, and I do training for their staff to be able to, you know, recognize if this is happening. At the very end, I said, do you have any questions? And they said, you've terrified us. We don't even know what to say. You know, this is such a hard thing, and it is a hard thing. But, you know, we also know as Christians, A, God is so much bigger than this. And it can be hard when we're faced with these realities of things like somebody selling children in our city. Traffickers don't want us to respond. They want us to be paralyzed, and they want us to be overwhelmed. But what I want, and I think what Jesus is asking us to do, is what can I, a college student, what can I, a mom, what can I, a pastor or a business owner, or name the thousand things that we are, what can we do to respond? And so I'm going to give you just a few ways that we can all respond. The first is pray. And I say that not to sound super spiritual. I say it because I know and I see the fruit of prayer in my life and in my ministry. You know, praying around this issue for the victims, yes. We pray for the church to raise up. We pray for, you know, other organizations that are on the front lines. We pray for the traffickers and the purchasers of this issue, because what we know to be true is if they could get freed up of their sin, we would eradicate trafficking altogether. And so prayer is a huge way that we can respond. The second way is to educate yourself. Learn about this issue. Read articles and how this is happening, and then use your voice to educate other people. We had a young girl named Abigail. We worked with her at a youth convention, and she came in and said, I really want to take this to my school. Teach me. Tell me how. Let's come up with a plan of how I can educate my friends, my peers. And to be frank, I thought she was crazy, because I thought there is no way a school is going to let a 16-year-old girl talk about sex trafficking. What I didn't know about Abigail is she is from Fairfax County, Virginia. Fairfax County has actually had a girl from every single high school trafficked. So where she was it was in desperate need of education. Abigail not just raised awareness in her school, another school found out, they allowed her to do some prevention education there, and this 16-year-old kid educated 2,000 students. I mean, she's done half of what I've done in 5 years. You know, this girl, that's a powerful thing. So we can use what we learn to raise awareness, talk to our friends and our peers, and educate ourselves about the issue. The third thing that we can do is engage. And so when we set up New Creation, we did it to be able to get the community to engage. Part of it is volunteering. And so if you don't know, New Creation runs 2 fair trade survivor-made boutiques. What that essentially means is we're getting in front of the issue through fair trade social enterprise. So people who would be very, very susceptible to be lured in, to be victimized through human trafficking. So we work with fair trade social enterprise, and then we work with people that are doing rescue and restoration and teaching these survivors to use their skills and their hands to create some of the most incredible things that you've ever seen, beautiful, beautiful things, and we sell them to help really fund our mission to end trafficking. And that's something we can all be a part of. Shopping differently is powerful. Most people don't realize that the stuff that we're buying is made through slavery. People are not being paid fair wage. So the way you can engage is be purposeful and thoughtful about how you spend your money and where you spend your money. What you may not know about Harrisonburg is it's incredible. We have multiple fair trade boutiques. So we have New Creation on South Main Street, and then we also are in downtown Harrisonburg. So we have two locations. 10,000 Villages is right next door. You guys have Artisan's Hope very close by. And then there's a fourth store, Green Hummingbird. And so support those organizations. Go and shop and spend your money in a way that does change and impact lives. And so those are the ways you can engage. You can pray, you can educate yourself and others, and then you can engage, whether it's with New Creation or with another organization who's doing anti-trafficking work. You can shop, you can volunteer. I have trifolds along with me that just kind of gives information about our organization. At the end, I'll stay at the end of chapel if you want to talk to me more about how you can engage, or you want to grab one of those pamphlets and just learn more about our organization. I would welcome you to do that. Thank you, guys.